My heart breaks as I look at so many of my children who are languishing in a pit of emotions that continually drags them down. The ultimate reason why this happens is a lack of understanding of how much they are loved by me. If you really understood how much I love you, that knowledge alone would raise a standard against depression and confusion, because you would know that the moment you were born again, you were made complete in me. You would know that there is no weapon that can prosper against you. As my child, you would know that you are birthed of my spirit and that I love you with a never-ending love. And you would understand that it's out of that love you can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And you can know safety and security. You can know peace, a peace that troubles all emotions, troubles them with my glory, and brings them into subjection so that they do not trouble you. If you will linger in my presence, not just tonight, but in the days to come, the knowledge of my love will raise you to the level of the conqueror I have made you. You are complete in me. You have all that I can give you. Learn more of my love by being in my presence. And let my glory trouble that which has been troubling you. You will rise to a place of victory. And you will understand that I am God, I am your Father, and I love you. Tonight I'm going to begin teaching on what I truly believe is, for some Christians, the greatest stumbling block in their life, the greatest hindrance to keeping them from going deeper into God. It's something that you've heard taught on before, but the Lord, over the last, I don't know, maybe year, has been giving me more to teach on concerning this. So that's what we're going to do, and to establish it, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. In Proverbs, now I'm going to give you a moment to get there. Even though you've heard me reference this, you probably heard it from others, you've read it, I want you to see it. Proverbs chapter 18. Look in verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I don't know that there is any more passage in Scripture that makes it explicitly clear that what you say is going to impact your life. And yet, my experience being around Christians is they do not pay attention to what they're saying. You know, Jesus, there's a lot of scripture about this subject that we won't get to tonight. But Jesus talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you're going to eat the fruit of what you speak. I don't know. Quite frankly, let me put it like this. If Christians really believed that the Bible is God's word that's not going to change, we could end the sermon right now. That's it. No more would be needful to say. Because if you believe this, then you're going to walk out of this room tonight, and from this moment on, you are going to watch what you say. And you're not going to just watch what you say, you're going to make sure you know why you're saying what you say. You're going to understand what you're saying and the purpose for it. But inevitably we need more proof. We shouldn't, because this is it. Now, see, this is the Word of God. And it's going to stand forever. And when he says, now in verse 20, and he says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. I mean, that's symbolic. And it's not simply, I mean, it's illustrating, yeah, you eat a lot, your belly's going to be happy. All right, well, a man's life, you're going to have satisfaction in life by virtue of the fruit of your mouth, by what you say. And with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. The increase of his lips. That means a confession is not simply a matter of, well, praise God, thank you, Jesus, glad you love me today, everything's going to be good. And then you go on about it. No, the increase of your lips, not your bank account, the increase of your lips, meaning the more that what you say is what you should say, your life is going to change. And then he says, it's almost like in verse 21, he says, you know what? If verse 20 isn't clear enough for you, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Not mine. Yours. Oh, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you walk away from the prayer speaking opposite of what was prayed. You know, you need to go stand in the corner. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. Look, it's just shocking to me how many Christians want to criticize the whole confession message. Well, it can get messed up. People can tell you to confess all kinds of stupid stuff. But here it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're going to get what you say. Now, let's look at some more scripture relative to this. In Isaiah 55, turn over there. Isaiah 55. And again, this is a passage, it's very popular. I've read it many times. But in Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. In other words, the very thinking that originates with me is not the same thinking that naturally originates from an earthly human mind. I operate, I'm God, I'm deity, I operate at a higher level here. And he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is why over in Romans it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because by nature, meaning by natural, earthly, human existence, we do not think anywhere near the way that God thinks. That's why as a Christian, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as we do that, then our thoughts begin to line up with his thoughts. And he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God is telling you right there, my word will not return void unto me. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish. And he turns around and says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right, that should clue us into something. Now look over in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we know that this first chapter is the, the creation story. And, you know, you start reading in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and what we read is, you know, God said, let there be, and it happened. God said, let there be, and it happened. Over and over again, God said, and it happened. Well, then in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And he says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God says, let's make man in our image and likeness. And then he says, you have dominion. Now, if we're made in the image and the likeness of God, what is the pattern we see from Genesis 1:1 up through Genesis 1:25? Leading up to this, God said, and it happened. God said, and it happened. God spoke, and it came to pass. Then in verse 26, he says, let's make man, male and female, let's make him in our image. Well, if I'm made in his image, then what I see preceding this indicates to me a method of operation in this life. God said, and now I'm in his image, so therefore I can say, and it will happen. Now, I want to point something out to you. Look in verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now you can read other things that he created, you know, like the fish and everything else, you know, after their kind. But now here's what I want to point out. God spoke that over 6,000 years ago, and guess what? Everything is still after its kind. You see that? He spoke it over 6,000 years ago, and it's still not been violated, and it's not going to be violated. I don't care what science thinks, you're never going to see a rabbit give birth to a rhinoceros. It's not going to happen, Gloria. And I don't care how many bananas a monkey eats, it's never going to give birth to a banana. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Dogs give birth to dogs, not billy goats. Horses give birth to horses, not cows. God said it. It has not returned void. It is accomplishing what he sent it forth to accomplish, everything after its kind. Amen. Amen. And it's still in operation today. See, that right there should convince you that when you speak, something is set in motion. This is so absolutely critical. And yet so many Christians don't seem to get it. They don't seem to understand it. They don't seem to accept it no matter what. And I, you know, again, it's sad, but it's humorous. How many times I pray for people, and then within minutes, I hear them talking opposite of the prayer. Literally, within minutes. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? From a natural perspective, my response is, why did you waste my time? Why did you come up and ask me for prayer? You walk away speaking opposite the very thing you asked me to pray about. And then what? You're going to be upset because it didn't manifest. No, you don't understand. It is manifesting. What you're speaking over yourself is manifesting. Do you get this? Oh, pastor, please pray for me. You know, my elbow. Ooh, it hurts. Okay, well, pray in Jesus' name, healed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you walk away, and you go telling everybody how bad it hurts. Well, it started last week. And let me tell you what, it just seems like it's gotten worse, and it's gotten worse, and it's gotten worse. I just prayed for you. Wait, you trying to make me look stupid? He prayed, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening. He prayed, still hurts, still hurts. Okay, you know what? You're getting what you speak. Do you not get this? You are cursing yourself with your words. Cursing isn't just a matter of, well, blank and blankety blank, blank, blank. You fill it? No, don't fill it in. Cursing is speaking opposite of God's word. That's a curse. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And when you speak opposite of that, you're cursing yourself. And I'll tell you, God, there's nothing God can do about it. Because life and death are in the power of your tongue, and God is going to speak life. That's his declaration over you. But when you make a decision that you're going to make a declaration opposite from what God has declared in his word, what do you expect him to do? We're never going to get these bills paid. God's in heaven saying, well, that's how you want to live. I just don't understand why God won't come through. God's in heaven saying, you don't get it, do you? You're created in my image and my likeness. The moment you got born again, you began to share with my spiritual life. And what you're speaking is directly opposite with who you've become in Christ. So what do you expect? Look over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. What is it that you want in life? What do you want? I mean, let me give you an example. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor. I'd sure like it if my toes would stop hurting. I mean, some people, they have foot issues. That's what their battle is. You see what I mean? And so, boy, Pastor, I just wish my toes would stop hurting because it's so hard to walk. Okay, you know what? Write it down. What else do you want? Well, I'd kind of like to get current on all my bills. Okay, write it down. What else? Well, I've been battling an earache for, I want the earache to be, write it down. What do you want in life? What do you want? Well, I want a husband. Fred, let me put it to you like this. That ain't going to work. Ladies, if you want a husband, you better consult with God. Because you might be seeking the wrong thing. What do you mean? Who said God put in his word that everybody's supposed to get married? What do you want in life? What do you want? Write it down. Does it line up with what God has said in his word? If it does, then you need to carry that list around with you, and every time you open your mouth and start talking, find out if what you're saying lines up with what you want. Because if you're seeking for something that lines up with his will, don't you think you ought to be speaking in accordance with his will? The answer to that is yes. In Romans chapter 4, look here. This is talking about Abraham and the promise God made to him and all that. But pick it up in verse 17. As it is written, have God speaking about Abraham. I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Call it those things which be not as though they were. You know that thing you were talking about a moment ago? You know, wish my toes would stop hurting? So then the present physical condition is pain in your toes. Something's causing pain in your toes. But what do you want? Well, I don't want the pain in my toes. Then shouldn't you be calling something that presently isn't as though it was in your body? When's the last, if you've got a body part that's bothering you, when's the last time you talked to it? Oh, Brother Martin, that's weird. What, talk to my toes? Yeah. When's the last time you talked to something that's messed up, that you're battling, that you're trying to overcome, that you're trying to conquer, that you're trying to see healed, however you want to put it? When's the last time you talked to it? When? See, a lot of Christians just don't buy into the creative power of what they speak. If you want something to change, talk to it. Speak to it. This is not fantasy. This is reality. This is the way it is supposed to be for believers. Call those things that be not as though they were. Well, you know, right now I'm feeling pain in my toes. All right, well, call those things be not as though they were. Toes, I call you healed. I call you affliction free. I call you not just pain free, but cause of pain free. I call you delivered. I call you healed. Do you hear what I'm saying, toes? The answer is that, yeah, they hear you. I know toes don't have ears, but you know what I'm saying here. How many times do you do that? You know, the doctor says, well, you know, you got a liver infection. Well, talk to your liver. Liver, I call you infection free. Which side? Is the liver on the left side or the right side? And if you don't know, just slap hands on both sides. You're in there somewhere, liver. I call you infection free. You see what I'm getting at? Talk to yourself. It's your liver. They're your toes. They belong to you. You know, if something messes, like if your TV messes up, don't you start yelling at it. You stupid TV! You. Talk to yourself. Call yourself what you want. Speak to yourself. Because if you have the dominion and the authority over the work of God's hands, and we ultimately can trace our origin back to the dust of the earth, and God created the dust of the earth, do we not have dominion over this dust? Amen. Yeah. Amen. We do. Leave your finger here in Romans and look back over in Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Look here in verse 9. God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Look at this. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God is saying, look, I call those things that be not as though they were. I, God, know the beginning from the end. That's how I can speak those things that are not as though they were. When it comes to healing, didn't God say, by Jesus' stripes we were healed? Yes, he did. That is a declaration of the end from the beginning. The beginning is some kind of an affliction, sickness, whatever, pain, something that impacts our body. Well, you know, I fell and broke my arm. Okay, then your arm is broken. The bone's broken. Well, the end of that is, by Jesus' stripes, arm was healed. That's the end of it. The beginning was the injury. Now the end of it is a healed arm, healed toes, healed liver, healed whatever. But it has to be a declaration. If you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because some people can say, well, yeah, but you know, Romans, that's God's calling things that be not as though they are. And over there in Isaiah, well, that's God, knowing the beginning from the end. That's not me. I'm not God. Well, Genesis 1, 26, 27, you're not God, but created in His image. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now granted, I'm looking ahead to what I can't see in the natural. You know, eternity with Jesus. However, if I sit around and I just look at the things which are seen, well, here's my checkbook. I go through more red ink than I do black ink. Boy, we got a problem here. I don't know how it's ever going to change. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. Doesn't the Bible say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God? Yeah, it does. Doesn't wisdom say, hey, I hold the secrets to all this. You seek me, you get me, and you'll get answers. I mean, on and on, this is in the scriptures. The answers are there. And we have to come to the place of understanding. This is how we're supposed to operate. We exist, listen, we exist by what is in us that we speak. You can't even get born again unless you follow this principle. Because you have to believe who Jesus is and so forth. Then you got to confess with your mouth and you'll be saved. So your salvation, your eternal existence is based on this principle. And so therefore, it carries over into everything else. How much, you know that word salvation, it isn't just born again. It's the sum total of everything we have in Christ, which would be, healing, for example. So how much, we confess Jesus to be born again, but how much of our salvation are we confessing? How much of what He's promised, how much of our inheritance, how much of what He's given us, how much of who we are in Christ are we speaking? How much of it lines up with Him? Turn over to Ecclesiastes. I know some people hardly ever look at the book Ecclesiastes, probably thought it got taken out of the Bible a long time ago. I ain't seen that book in years. Is it still there? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look here. I'm going to give you a moment to find it. Brother Martin, Ecclesiastes, is that like the Old Testament, the New Testament, or somewhere in between? It's the Old Testament. It's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Another way to say that, think before you speak. What do you want in life? Well, I just can't think straight. Okay, well, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, that God's not the author of confusion. He's given us a spirit, a power, love, and a sound mind, and all that. Okay, that is who you are. If you feel like you can't think straight, then you need to be confessing over your mind. You need to be talking to yourself. Believe, some people think, that's kind of a weird thing to say. Well, now you need to. You need to be talking to yourself and call yourself what God has already declared in His Word. See, we have no justification for being upset or complaining at God if everything, not necessarily everything, but so much of what comes out of our mouth contradicts what He says in His Word. In Ecclesiastes, look over in chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look in verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? The Bible says we've been made kings and priests unto God through Jesus Christ. We're kings. Where the word of the king is, there is power. We're kings. That means there's power in our words. Power. Power that brings about change. It's in our words. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, He still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fashioned by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now that's kind of King Jamesy, but what he's talking about in verse 11 is the words of the wise are steadfast. They establish things. They build things. They create things. And the words of the wise are the words that are coming forth out of a heart that has God's word on the inside. See, confession is not convincing God to act. He has already decided to act, and that's why we have all the scriptures to confess. He's revealing his will to us in his word. And when we're confessing, what we're doing is we're declaring what he has already decided to do. Confession, it's about changing what we believe and agree with the most. See, if your constant confession is sick, 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 and sick, 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 sick. I mean, if that's your confession, that's what you believe the most. You can say, oh, no, no, no. No, 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 Brother Martin, by his stripes I was healed. You're saying that because you're in church with me. I know better. I'll take you out to dinner, and I'll just sit and listen to you talking to everybody else, and pretty soon, you're going to be sick, 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 sick. If that's what you're speaking over yourself, that is what you believe. It means you don't believe the Word of God. You agree with the Word of God that it says by His stripes you were healed, but you believe sick, sick, sick. Hurt, hurt, hurt. No money, no money, no money. You say that five times fast. Confession is about changing what we believe and agree with the most, God or the world. Because again, once we're born again, we're compatible with Him. See, our daily, hour by hour, incident by incident speech reveals and establishes what we stand in agreement with and what we believe. Everybody can do it right here, but it's all the rest of the time that you're away from here. It's your normal life, your non-churchy life. Everybody puts on, you know, their church face. You know what I'm talking about? They, you know, okay, I got my church words today. And then, away from here, they say what they say. The course of our life is established by how we speak about our life and our conditions, not by what God desires. God says, by His stripes you're healed. That's His desire. We establish His desires in our life by virtue of what we speak. And if we're in contradiction with Him, He's not going to violate that. He'll let us stay sick, hurt, broke, depressed, everything else. Since we're born again, according to that Genesis 1 declaration by God of who we are, our speech needs to line up with who we've become, or we are confessing a Genesis 3 life of sickness, poverty, depression into our life. You see this? If we do not speak in line with God's original intent in Genesis 1, you're declaring Genesis 3 into your life. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to see happen? Look over in Romans chapter 8. No, I'll tell you what, look in Psalm 19. Let's do that first. Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You speak out of the meditation in your heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. What is acceptable in his sight? What he has said? What's in his word? You can't go before his throne and say, "Hey God, I'm really sick, aren't I?" And have him say, "Boy, you know what you are. I mean, what you're going through, I never thought anybody would go through that. Why didn't you?" No. The words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart needs to be acceptable in his sight. And what is acceptable in his sight? What he has spoken, because his word is truth. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord," or the word of the Lord, "and in his law," or his word, "doth he meditate day and night." When we do verse 2, what this does, it begins to align our confession, because his words will eventually become the abundance of our heart, and we will then speak out of that abundance. At first you may feel like, "Well, I'm just faking it." You know what? That's better than nothing. Really. That's better than nothing. And in verse 1 where it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," do you realize in a kind of an abstract manner, you could be the counsel of the ungodly to yourself if you continue to tell yourself and speak forth all the things that are not of God, that you do not want, and you're leading yourself in the wrong direction. You're leading yourself away from the Word. Now go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Take a look at one verse. Give you a moment to get there because I want you to see it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Confessing God's word is confessing and enforcing the law of the Spirit of life, releasing it into our life. Our born-again spirit is compatible with the word of God. As I speak that word, I'm speaking that which my spirit is in agreement with, and I'm speaking that which God is in agreement with. So therefore, as I'm confessing the word, I'm confessing and I am enforcing the law of the Spirit of life. Guys, do you understand? Healing power is in you right now. The moment you got born again, healing for anything you could ever face physically is in you. Now listen to me, it's in you. Why is that? Because when you got born again with the very life and nature of God. It's one thing for me. See, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and then I minister to people out of that for them to be healed. But for me to be healed, me, the power of that healing is alive on the inside of me right now. It is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I can believe for that healing to manifest even if I don't pray in tongues. Because that healing power is in me, and that healing power is in you. That's why when you're confessing the Word of God, you are immediately lining your spirit up with God's Spirit, His life, who He is, and His Word, and you are declaring His will over you for a manifestation of what He said you should have. And that's healing in your body. But if you want to stay sick, man, have at it. But, please, now I'm serious here. I'm not joking around when I tell you, don't get around me and bellyache. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear a mouthful of anti-God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to hear a constant declaration of that which is opposite of the will of God. Am I the confession police? No. I just don't want my ears to be soiled by that. I don't want that kind of input into my life when I know better and I know you know better. A lot of people, they don't understand this. You do, because you've heard it declared unto you, and it bear your spirit bears witness with this truth. The problem, part of the problem, is when you can sit here this, and you can be in agreement with it. Being in agreement with it does not mean it manifests in your life. It has to be what you put in you and what you declare. One thing I've noticed, a lot of Christians, it's like they have been trained to confess opposite of what God says. It's almost like no matter what you say, no matter what you teach, no matter how many scriptures you show them, they'll be in agreement. Oh yeah, that's right, right there in the Word, right there in the Bible. But then away from that, it's sick, it's hurt, we can't, we'll never, it won't, can't afford this, can't afford that, can't buy this, can't pay for that, can't do, can't, not, won't, never, never. See what I'm getting at? They've trained themselves to live according to a Genesis 3 fallen world, and that is their confession over their life and everything about their life. If that's how you want to live, I mean, you can do it. And you can do it successfully. But I don't want that for me. And you shouldn't want this for you. Oh, but Brother Martin, I struggle with my mind, struggle with my thought. Well, you don't have to. Do you realize that you can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? You can do it. You can do it. That has become more real to me. How can I say this? You can actually change the pathways of your thinking if you want to. I'll give you an example. When you go to bed at night, you lay there, you close your eyes, you start thinking about things before you go to sleep. How do you know that, Brother Martin? Everybody's like that. Good heavens. Everybody's like that. Now, some of those thoughts aren't beneficial. Now, I'm not talking about, filthy, dirty thoughts. Just some of those thoughts aren't beneficial. Here's what you do. You don't even have to speak this. In your mind, you begin confessing. Laying there in bed, mouth shut, but in your mind, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I glorify you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I glorify you. I love you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You start doing that in your mind, and what you're doing is you are creating a stronger, wider, deeper, taller, whatever pathway of thinking that begins pushing other stuff out of the way so that you are creating for yourself a different way of meditating, a different way of thinking, and that ultimately is going to result in a different way of confessing. You can actually lay there in bed and just think about scriptures, and you never have to say a word, but you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. See? When you confess the word, you're confessing life. Now listen to this. You cannot confess and change your past. You cannot confess and change your present. You can only confess and change your future. You're living in your present right now. So you can't confess and change, you know what I'm saying. But as you begin to confess, what you're doing is you are setting the course for your tonight, your tomorrow, your next week, and so on. You're declaring the Word of God. You're declaring the life of God. Does that mean life's going to be trouble-free? Good heavens, no. Look at the life of Jesus. I mean, if anybody had their confession lined up right, it would have been Jesus. Boy, he had some tough times, didn't he? Look at the Apostle Paul. Look, your confession does not immunize you from the hatred of other people. You can go around all day long and say, oh, I say in the name of Jesus, everybody loves me. Trust me, that's not going to work. You might have found out even more people hate you. But what you're doing is you're impacting your life. You know, your healing, your thinking, your financial situation, your family life. I mean, you're changing things so that it lines up with the Word of God. Now, there's more of this that I need to share with you. A couple of examples specifically of confession and how it changed things that I'll give you, and I think I'll get to that next week.
I guess that means you'll show up, I hope. That's my confession.
You will show up. You will show up. See, I like my job.
You know, Brother Martin, you know what? You stand up there and act like that. Sometimes you say some really dumb things. That's a terrible confession.
Nah, hold on. These dumb jokes that I tell, that has nothing to do with this. Okay, for example, Adam and Eve. When they go out to eat, what's Eve's favorite meal? Spare ribs. Now, you know what? The people down in Immokalee appreciate my jokes a whole lot more than you folks. They laugh, you groan. Yeah, well, you probably told better jokes down there, Brother Martin. Begin to put this into practice. Think about what the Word of God has to say. Think about what God has said about you, about your life, and what God wants. Get into the Word and find these things out. And, you know, there's another verse. We didn't get to it tonight, but I'll just mention it. It talks about, you know, set a guard over my mouth. Pray and ask God to help you to be extremely sensitive and even convicted when you start speaking in opposition to the Word of God. Oh man, I tell you what, I just been so hurt. Oh, it just hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. And you know what? What you need to hear is that what you want? Do you want that pain? If that's not what you want, then don't speak it. Then don't confess it. Then don't declare it. Then don't speak opposite of what God wants for you. Ask for conviction. Ask God. See, it's your mouth. And, you know, you can say whatever you want to say. But as you begin to get into the Word of God and begin to speak those things that He has declared in His Word, your life is going to begin to change. For some people, this is going to take a whole lot more effort than others because they have so trained themselves to confess in line with Genesis 3 as opposed to Genesis 1. But the change is possible.